It says in the Word, God's desire is that all will come to know Him as Lord and Savior. And Jesus, God sent Jesus to die for every single one of us. He's got no favorites. He loves us all. He loves us all. And, you know, when we've taken communion, I think it's good to remember what we've lost. We give thanks for everything God gives us. But what's He taken from us? The burden of sin has been lifted from us. And it's good to remember that through Jesus dying on the cross, His shed blood, He said, for the remission of your sins. It's an important thing to remember that through Him we are, the weight is gone. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I want to continue on from Steph's last week when she was looking at the Holy Spirit and speaking about the Holy Spirit. And actually I spoke to Rachel Hickson this week. And she's going to be continuing that theme, would you believe, next week? But really, for me to say to continue is not correct. I want to interject. You what? I want to throw something in the mix. Or, if you like, go before receiving the promise of the Father. What was spoken out was Acts 1, verse 3 and 4. To these men, He also showed Himself alive after His suffering in Gethsemane and on the cross by a series of many infallible proofs and unquestionable demonstrations appearing to them over a period of 40 days and talking to them about things concerning the kingdom. Now that's putting in to say Jesus was real. He was there with them, good and proper, over a period of 40 days. While being together and eating with them, that shows He was alive, that He's eating with them. He commanded them, bear in mind, commanded, it's not a suggestion. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which He said, you have heard Me speak. Don't go anywhere. Wait for what the Father has promised. Is He a God who lies? No. So the promise will be fulfilled. In John 14, Jesus, He comforts the disciples. And He's saying He's going away. And He's going to prepare a place for them. That's for us as well. And that He will return. He's telling them, He's telling us, He will return. He goes on to say, He and the Father are one. Anyone who's seen Me has seen the Father. And then we see, believe Me that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me. Otherwise, believe Me because of the very works themselves which you have witnessed. He's making it very clear. Come on, Father and I are one. That's the way He wants us to be. He wants us to be one. But then it comes out with this. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in Me as Savior will also do the things that I do. And he will do even greater things than these, that's in extent and outreach, because I am going to the Father. We've got there Jesus making, well, you can say, a declaration. He's announcing openly and in dictionary terms, he asserts emphatically and he states explicitly those mind-blowing facts, those mind-stretching thoughts that what he's been doing, we're going to do. Jesus has declared that, so it will come about. No matter how limited we put our minds round it, Jesus has spoken it out, so it will happen. One way or another, he'll get our minds opened up to receive what he has been saying. It's something Jesus wants us to get hold of, to keep hold of, and to obey. Yes, it is stretching our minds if we look at those things. Greater things than Jesus? Come on, get real. No, he said it. It's not one of the apostles. It's not one of the prophets. It's Jesus himself said, You will do these things. He's saying, trust me. You don't need to understand. Trust me. And he follows it up. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. That's the Holy Spirit. Part of his what he is. Part of his role is to be with us to forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take it to heart, because the world doesn't see him or know him. But he says, you know him. That's you know the Holy Spirit, because he remains with you continually and will be in you. Again, we've got to get hold of that. The Holy Spirit is within us continually. That's if we know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And I was going to jump from there to verse 26. I know there weren't verses when this was written out, but I mean, it is for ease for reading for us in reference. But then I looked at what was in between. I thought, nah, I'm not going to, because that's too good to miss. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. On that day, when the time comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Get a grip on that. You will know for yourself that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Christ in us. The person who has my commandments and keeps them is one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Again, God shown his love for us. He's going to know, we're going to know we are really, truly, honestly, really loved by Father God and by Jesus. I will make myself real to him. Is Jesus real to you? Is he making himself real to you on a daily basis? Judas, that's not Iscariot, asked him, Lord, what has happened that you are going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Now, when I read that, I thought, oh, that's strange. What has happened? But when we go back, find the right place, because I've got it. Other versions put it, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us? Not what's happened. How are you going to show us? How's that going to come about? If anyone really loves me, he will keep my word, my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. When I read that, the outcome of what Jesus is revealing is that he and Father are dwelling within us. I think there's a silu there, as the psalmist would say. Stop or pause and think on that. Father and Jesus are dwelling within us. And Jesus goes on, one who does not really love me does not keep my words. And the teaching, the word, which you hear is not mine, but is the Father who sent me. He's saying, you know, you've got to listen to what I'm saying. This is what the Father said. But if you don't keep them, if you don't listen to them, you're not going to understand them. You're not going to receive them. And Jesus carried on, I have told you these things while I am still with you. And tells us again that the Helper, the Comforter, is coming. He's sending the Holy Spirit. The Father's going to send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' place. To represent me, that's what Jesus says. The Holy Spirit is coming to represent me, to be in my place, and to act on my behalf. He's going to teach us all things, and he's going to help us to remember everything that I have told you. Well, I don't know about you, but I think that's wonderful. That the Holy Spirit is going to help us to remember. Yeah, you know, as we read scripture, as we look at things, it's now then, what, which way around did that go? What does that say? And Holy Spirit will give us remembrance, will give us revelation. But we might have to work at it at times, because Helen said to me this morning, where is it where it says murder and grumbling are next to each other? Oh, gosh. And I couldn't find it. So if anybody's got it, they can give it. Don't spend time looking during the word, though, please. Yeah, it's murder and grumbling. Because it is. It's listed together in the Bible. And I've quoted it and said it so many times. I think, what's reference? But it's definitely there. It's definitely in the word. Yes. Sorry, Google. I tried. And it came up with 100 words on Googling. So many other on murder, but not murder and grumbling next to each other. So anyway, there we go. Oh, gosh. Jesus goes on. It's in the next chapter in our Bible, but Jesus was just talking as well as about being he and the Father being one and being in unity. And that's what Jesus is wanting for each one of us, for us, for the body of Christ, to be in unity, that we're all singing from the same song sheet. And we had an illustration of that this morning, didn't we? Well, you could tell the word dropped. Are we singing worship? Are we singing rapture? Or are we singing transport? Depend upon which verse. Which version you're looking at. And there can be a hesitancy in thinking, which way do we go here? Yeah. Jesus wants us down one track. You see what happens with that rail disaster when the trains change tracks. So on one track, going down, Jesus in that chapter 15 talks about opposition that's going to come in. People don't like the word of God going out. People don't like us because we carry the word of God. Some do. Some love us. Some are around us because they don't understand what we're carrying, but they like it. But some people, there is definite opposition. You don't even have to speak to some people because that's a clash of the kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the enemy. But we've got the good news and we can share it. And Jesus, after talking about opposition, picking up at verse 24, if I had not done among them the works, the miracles, which no one else ever did, they would not have their guilt of sin. But now the fact is that they have both seen these works and have hated me and continued to hate me and my Father as well. But this is so, the word which has been written in their law, which will be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify and bear witness about me. So the Holy Spirit is going to be testifying about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit working through us can testify about Jesus. You will testify and also be my witnesses because you have been with me from the beginning. You were working through, we're with Jesus, we're moving forward. And this is the third time that Jesus is telling them that the Holy Spirit is coming. The Holy Spirit is all of those things that I've read out to you twice now. And is the Holy Spirit is coming to help and to support, to strengthen, you know, to toughen us, to help us to get through. Jesus has warned, he's informed, the Holy Spirit is coming. He's warning, he's informing, because when Holy Spirit does come, things will change. There's no two ways about it. Holy Spirit causes change. The disciples were told to wait for Holy Spirit to come and to baptize them. Well, when we look in Matthew 10, we see Jesus summoned, in other words, he's saying, come here, his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority and power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Jesus has given the authority and the power to work miracles, to do all of these things. Authority over unclean spirits, over the demonic, every kind of sickness. Wow. Is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Nope. Well, they've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Yes. One of the notes in my Bible says this is delegated authority that Jesus is giving. It's Jesus' power and his authority to use his name. And it's in his name they can do these things. And Jesus has done this to give them an opportunity to see the possibilities. An opportunity for the disciples to exercise these gifts and have the opportunity to be there. But it's short term. It's a short term mission because they come back, don't they? And they're rejoicing that all this is going on. But then actually when you look in the Word, you don't actually see them doing anything else. Not until the day of Pentecost. You see them, they're frightened, they're intimidated, they're hiding. At one point they say, Lord, why couldn't we do this? Because they couldn't heal the little lad. They had short-term delegated authority at that time. In John 20, 22, Jesus amongst his disciples, this is after he's been crucified, he's amongst his disciples, he's talking with them, he's speaking with them, he's eating with them, as we read earlier before there. And he, when he'd said this, when he's told them he's going to send them out as his representatives, he said, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. That's from Jesus. Was this baptism of the Holy Spirit? No. If it was, why did Jesus say, wait for the promise of the Father? Because the promise of the Father is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if they'd already got it, what they had got was the Holy Spirit, which when we're born again, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, when we get forgiveness of sins, when we receive Him into our lives, we receive the Holy Spirit into ourselves. That is not baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now we can say that's controversial. Yes, it is. But I'm just bringing what I believe the Scriptures are saying before us. Because one school of thought is as soon as you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're saved and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. I disagree. I think the Bible disagrees as well. You see, it's been put across, oh, it's just the charismatic church that believes that. The denominations go the other way. Well, hang on. Who's right? I'll leave that up to you. But I know what I believe. Jesus told them to wait. He told them where to wait. In Jerusalem. It wasn't a case, oh wait, go where you like, just find somewhere nice. No, wait in Jerusalem. Because that's where I've made the appointment for the Holy Spirit to meet you. For them at that time, the Holy Spirit was meeting in Jerusalem in the upper room. Yes, Holy Spirit meets with us everywhere now. Back to what was said there about Acts 1. Wait for what the Father has promised. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized and empowered and united with Holy Spirit not long from now. The promise of the Father. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power and ability when Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses to tell people, well, it's all over the world. You will receive power when Holy Spirit has come upon you. Notice the different wording. Not in, upon. The promise of the Father. It's actually meaning, it's the outpouring, it's referred to as outpouring of the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being given Holy Spirit, having received Holy Spirit, have Holy Spirit coming upon them. It all means the same. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The disciples believed in Jesus. He breathed on them. The Holy Spirit was in them. But they were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. But go to Acts 19. Acts 19. 1-7. It happened when Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went through the upper inland districts and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. He asked them, did you receive Holy Spirit when you believed in Jesus as the Christ? And they said, no. We haven't even heard that there is the Holy Spirit. And he asked them, "Into what then were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John performed a baptism of repentance, continually telling the people to believe in him who were coming after him, that is, to accept and joyfully believe in Jesus as Messiah and Savior. And after hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." When Paul laid his hands on them, Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in unknown tongues and prophesying. They were believers. It tells us that. They were believers. Now, let's be honest. These guys were Jews, and they became believers in the way. That was no small step for them to make, because the other Jews who didn't believe could have quite easily kicked them out of the synagogue. And that meant loads to the Jews. If you are cut off from the synagogue family, you're in a pretty bad state. But he says, no, they believed. But they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. They weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. See, that was, actually I missed out. There's another instance in Acts 8, 14 to 17, where they don't know the Holy, into what were you baptized? Not the Holy Spirit. So we've got there, there's only one instance, and that's in Acts 10, when the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit comes on immediately after water baptism. It's in Cornelius' house. The people repent. They're baptized. And they're speaking in tongues. They're worshipping. They're baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the only place where we see it's simultaneous. You know, there are exceptions to the rule. We can't put God in a box. He does it his way. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit before I was baptized in water. You say, well, that's back to front. Well, that's the way God did it with me. Yeah. Yes. The norm is believe, repent, water baptism, and then baptism in the Holy Spirit. Why am I saying this? Isn't everybody here baptized in the Holy Spirit? I don't know. But I want to give the opportunity, and I want everybody, I want an understanding among us that it's not an automatic thing. We have to ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm doing this so we're all moving on together. In Galatians, we're told that we, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come also to the Gentiles, so that we will also realize the promise of Holy Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham that God promised to his chosen people, he was saying, right now, I'm passing it out to the Gentiles. Everything that I promised my servant is Abraham, I promise to you. And we accept it, we receive it through faith. So is baptism in the Holy Spirit important? Yes. Jesus commanded it. He said, wait till you receive it. Don't go on in your own strength, on your own way. Go my way. I want to show you what, and I want you to be empowered by me, by the Holy Spirit. It was one of the last things recorded by Luke. Listen carefully. I am sending the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit, upon you. But you are to remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed, fully equipped with power from on high. That's why I've brought that verse in, because Luke puts it different to the others. You are clothed, fully equipped with power from on high. I've read to you the Acts 1 verse 4. But when you look at the King James Version, it puts it a different way. And I like the ring of the King James Version. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, and until ye be endued with power from on high. He said, come on, get real, get up to date. No, tarry. What does tarry mean? It means sit down. It means to settle, to wait, to be appointed, to have a kingdom conferred upon you. That's what tarry means. So I think I'll have tarry rather than wait. Let's have a kingdom conferred upon us. Let's be appointed by God. Endued. What does endue mean? It means to be clothed, to put on or to sink into. Yeah. So Holy Spirit is going to be put on. We can sink into, can you imagine that really soft sofa or bed that you're sinking into? Into Holy Spirit. Another thing that came to mind, who's got a really favourite winter coat that you put on you? Whoa, isn't this lovely? Snuggled on, nice and big cooler, collar on it and stuff. It's lovely and warm. Snuggling. That's been endued by the Holy Spirit. Power. That's miraculous power. That's moral power. That's power to influence. That's also power to resource. And for numbers to arise. For us to be punching above our weight. For us to be moving into spheres way above the normal area that we move in. We mentioned Mark meeting with the ministers, speaking about Ofsted and how it can be improved. That's pretty high up. Yeah. So we've got this is what we're looking at. Empowered by the Holy Spirit makes a difference. And I was thinking about this. Cut flowers in a vase are lovely, aren't they? But flowers that have got roots in a pot, which would you prefer? Potted ones. Why? Because they last longer. And that's it. We can just be as we are, or we can be rooted, empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you want more power, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It ain't an optional extra. If you went for a coffee, ordered a latte, and they brought you just a coffee without milk, would you feel cheated? Yeah. If you order a cappuccino, and it comes without sprinkles on the top, whoa! You're cheated. Well, what about Holy Spirit without power? I'm not saying the Holy Spirit's a cup of coffee. Don't mix me up like that at all. Yeah. But you've got to have there's benefits from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the but. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the power source. The equipping, the sending out, the empowering. The disciples were born again. They accepted that Jesus was Savior and Lord. But before that downpouring, or the outpouring, they were still the same. But when that baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were changed, and they were changed forever. When you think about it, of those 12 disciples, 11 were martyred and killed. And as Steph said last week, tradition, thank you, has it that John was boiled, but it didn't kill him. And so they then put him into Patmos. He lived it out. Became an old man, but all the rest were killed. Now, if they hadn't had some extra power, if they'd been moving in their own strength, do you think they'd have done that? Yeah. They'd have backed down straight away. They'd have said, this Jesus guy, forget it. But they didn't. They were prepared to die for their beliefs. They were going to die for their faith. Jesus had given them a taster when he gave them the power to go out, as we said in Matthew. But they needed to be filled, completely filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit to keep going out. Gardeners, do you plant your tomatoes and just water them once? That wouldn't be very clever, would it? They wouldn't last very long. And we see in Acts 13 and verse 52, the disciples were continually filled throughout their hearts and souls with joy and with Holy Spirit. They were continually filled. It wasn't a one-off. And I'm looking at 3 sponges this morning, not 4 candles. One's completely dry. Okay? Completely dry. Put it in the water, bring it out. Not a lot happens, is there? A little bit drips off. And that can be the same for us. If we're dry, if we haven't got the Holy Spirit and keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit, we get dry. We become hardened. We can even turn away and say, no, that's not Holy Spirit. I'm not having that. That's wrong. That can't be right. That's the dry one. Or if we're in that situation where, yeah, okay, we're going on. We're going on a little bit. We keep asking. We keep moving. We keep reading the word. We keep asking. It's a bit like that. We absorb a bit more and can give out a little bit. But if we're in that place, we're totally immersed, that we're asking daily, we are marinated. And we keep on pouring. So are you dry? Are you a little bit damp? Or are you wet? Are you marinated? Salut. Pause, a time of drying hands. Yes. But you'll remember that. And there's a truth in there. That we need to keep ourselves continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Word of God tells us. Do you want a latte without milk? Or do you want the full deal? It's baptism of the Holy Spirit. The full deal is gifts, tongues, power, miraculous power, greater oneness, being used by God beyond what we think or imagine. In Ephesians, Paul tells us, but be filled. That's constantly be filled. An ongoing filling with Holy Spirit. Constantly guided by Him. Come, Holy Spirit, we invite you. That's the cry of my heart. I don't know if it's the cry of your heart. John's going to come up and lead us and for us to actually respond. Do we want more Holy Spirit? Yes, we can be content with just an accepting, as we accept Jesus, is the Holy Spirit in us. But do we want to be in that place where we are overflowing?